Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody here today. Great to have you here. Glad you can be loving on everybody and everything. That's great. My goodness, all these kids going off here. This is awesome. Super excited to be before you today. Glad that all of us are able to worship God together and to hear something from His Word today. In just a little bit, we're going to be jumping into John chapter 1. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to go ahead and turn there. We'll have all the verses up there when we get there and all that kind of stuff. We are continuing on today in a series that we've been doing called Jesus Is and I Am, right? And the whole point is that because we know some things about Jesus, that ought to mean some things about us, right? And so even on Resurrection Sunday, we explored the fact that because Jesus is risen, I am made new, right? It's because He is risen from the dead, because He overcame death itself. Like, I don't have to be just a better version of myself. I get to be made a brand new person. Right? How awesome is that? And it's only because Jesus is risen, right? Last week, we looked at Jesus as the way, right? And so, and because Jesus is the way, then I am a leader. I know that's a bad word for some people. I get it. I know. And what was interesting, though, and this is, I don't have time to get into all this again. The Lord did give me a little revelation, like, during the week this week, though. And that is that I don't think that people are all that, I don't think leadership is all that problematic. I think people just don't like being responsible for stuff, right? You don't mind leading people. You don't mind influencing others. You just don't want to be responsible for other people or have to make hard decisions, right? If we could influence other people without being responsible or making hard decisions, like, sign me up, right? And I just want you to know, like, I'm okay if that's where you start as a leader. Like, I don't need you to be responsible for me or for anybody else. But if you could just influence some other people with the good news of Jesus Christ that's already in your life and just share that with somebody else, like, you're not responsible for the people you share it with. Just give them Jesus, right? Anyway, I don't have time to preach that sermon again. Go back, watch it on YouTube. It's on there. So today, though, we're going to continue on in this series as we look at sort of the next step here. But rather than sort of following this formula of Jesus is, I am, really the question that I want to look into today is, who am I, right? And how do I figure out who I am? How does Jesus get to speak into that? How do we even do that, right? Like, how do we find who we are based on who Jesus is, right? This question of who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Man, I think that's a question that we all wrestle with in so many different ways. And hopefully today we can kind of wrestle this thing to the ground as we really dive into Scripture to see, like, what does the Bible have to say to us about who we are, and what does it tell us about what Jesus' role should be in all that, right? So, I got to tell you this story first. About 4 years ago, my family and I were in Orlando for a Church of God convention that was there. Super awesome. It was at World Marriott Hotel. It had, like, I don't know, stupid, like, 6 pools or whatever. It was a huge, enormous place, right? It had, like, 4 restaurants inside of it and everything. And so one morning, Beth and the kids are up in the room, and so I went down to get breakfast for everybody, right? And I'm getting breakfast for 5, right? I have arms for 1, right? And so I'm, like, trying to, like, carry all this stuff, and for whatever reason, and I still don't really understand why this is, I had gotten oatmeal for myself, but it didn't come hot. Like, there was a microwave there that I had to heat it up in, right? They probably had oatmeal that was already cooked, but you probably had to pay more for it, and I'm super cheap, so I just did it myself, right? So I've got all the stuff, and I take the oatmeal over to the microwave, which is right next to this little cafe thing, and I put it in there. I forget how long it was, 2 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever, and so I hit start, right? And I'm, as that's cooking, I'm like, I'm like organizing everything else so that I can get into the elevator with, you know, punch the button and everything and not drop everything like as I'm going, because I don't want to make a mess, right? I don't want to make a mess. And so, you know, 2 minutes, 20 minutes later, whatever it was, I go back to the oatmeal, right? It wasn't 20 minutes, but it doesn't really matter. The point is, I get there, and there's oatmeal everywhere. Everywhere. And I'm just like, what in the world just happened? Like, this is a public microwave, right? There's two of them there, right? If I just destroyed this microwave, like, half of the microwaves are no longer usable because of what I did with this oatmeal here. And so, like, then I go and I'm like, what in the world? Like, I didn't even know oatmeal could do that, first of all. And so I go and I get paper towels and I start cleaning up and everything. I burn the skin off of my hands. Not really, but it was hot. That's the point. You get what I'm saying here, right? Like, it was so super hot, and now I'm just mad because I burnt myself, and it's still not clean, and I still have to carry everybody else's breakfast up to the hotel room because the oatmeal was mine, right? I'm not buying any more oatmeal, I can tell you that, right? I'll just be hungry at this point. And so, like, I get it all cleaned up and everything, and I almost just left it. I almost just left it, like, I'm sure it's somebody's job to clean up after people like me, right? I'm sure. I didn't. I got my WWJD bracelet out, and I cleaned up the microwave, all right? Because I'm sure that's what Jesus would have done. So, by the way, just for those of you who've never cooked oatmeal in a microwave before, it boils, right? Which is good. Like, it's supposed to boil. The water is supposed to boil. That's what actually cooks the oatmeal, so you're not just eating dry oats that are soaked in water, right? And so again, it was good. When the oatmeal is mostly liquid, like, the air just goes away and it's fine. The problem comes when the oatmeal starts getting a little thicker. The oatmeal then begins to bind together, right? I'm just letting you know so that you can share all of the details of my misery in this, right? The oatmeal begins to bind together because it gets kind of sticky and stuff. It gets a little thicker, and it begins to form like the ceiling on the oatmeal, right? Now, what cooks it is that the heat is causing pressure to come into the oatmeal, which is like, if you ever seen like a boiling pot, like there's like bubbles or whatever, right? So that's all coming up in the oatmeal, which before it's thick, it just goes away into the microwave. It's no problem at all. Once that ceiling of oatmeal is on there, it now becomes a problem, right? Because you've got the weight of the oatmeal on top, but you've got the pressure of the air underneath. And so now, like, everything is just begins to rise because that air has to find a way out, right? It's called equilibrium. I don't have time to teach that science class today. The point is, it eventually will get to the top of the cup, or at least it did in this case anyway. And once, it's in order that the air can get out, it will just push everything else out of the way, thus exploding oatmeal all over the microwave, in order that the air can then be released, right? I don't know about you, but that that kind of sounds a lot like life sometimes, doesn't it? Right? There's this, we got some things going on that we do on purpose. Like, I wanted the oatmeal in the water in the microwave because I wanted to eat some oatmeal, right? I wanted that, and I was really hoping that it was going to cook the right way and everything would just be good, and I would just add my little stuff to it, and it was going to be great, right? And then, like, the heaviness of life kind of starts holding things down, and the pressures of life start pushing stuff up, and before you know it, there's, like, it's like life explosion that happens, right? And then we got this whole mess we got to deal with, of which, when we try to clean it up, usually hurts, right? And so we've got all this that we're trying to work through, and in the midst of all that, whether consciously or unconsciously, we are still asking ourselves this question of, well, who am I? Who am I? So the reality is that if we let that oatmeal explode in that microwave enough, we're going to begin to think, well, we are the person who just can't handle oatmeal. We're the person who can't handle the heaviness of life. We're the person who can't handle the pressure. We're the person who can't keep it all together. We're the person who just makes messes all the time. That's just who I am. That's just what I do. When the reality is, like, maybe that's not who we are. Maybe that's not what we have to do. Maybe there's another way. And so I'm going to use this oatmeal illustration as we go, by the way. So it's going to sound a little cheesy and everything as I go, but just stick with me. I mean spiritual things when I say oatmeal. Just know that. But I want us to be able to figure out, how can we figure out who we really are? See, many times when we have these messes in our lives, it's real easy for us to know who we aren't, right? We hear those voices in our head that are telling us, well, I'm not smart, I'm not strong, I'm not good looking, I'm not the right size, I'm not a leader, I'm not a pastor, I'm not pure, right? I'm not innocent, I'm not happy, I'm not worthy, I'm not good, right? I'm not important. And sometimes we can look at ourselves and think, you know what, I might not know who I am, but I feel like I really do know who I'm not, just based on all the messes that are around us, right? So what I want to talk about today, without ever doing that again, my bad, okay, maybe I'll just stand. I probably did bump something I shouldn't have bumped. What I want to talk about today is I really want us to look into this question of who am I, right? And what's really supposed to define that? Because I don't think the messes are supposed to define who we are, amen, right? Amen. So how do we define that? Well, before we get into that, if you would, just pray with me. God, we do thank you so much for your faithfulness and for your love. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. We ask, God, that in this moment, in this time, that you would help us to hear from you. God, I just ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone. God, that your message would be proclaimed and received. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would transform us through the good news of Jesus Christ today. God, be glorified in all that we do, not only in our hearing, but also in the way that we do what you tell us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you would, turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1, and I am going to stand because I feel like I keep hitting something I'm not supposed to hit. John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. And I want to read for you the first 5 verses of John chapter 1. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There are a few things here that we learned that I just want to make sure that we're all catching here. The first thing is that Jesus is the Word, right? We're going to see here in just a few minutes when we get down to verse 14 that the word became flesh, right? Dwelt among us. It is Jesus himself, right? So Jesus is the Word. So according to John chapter 1 here, all things were created through Jesus, right? We're actually going to get into this a little bit more next week when Jesus actually describes himself as the I Am, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself there. The point is, though, that Jesus was present at creation, right? He always has been, he always will be. Like yes, he was born, and yes, he did die, yes, he was resurrected, but there is no beginning and there is no end. Like, he is eternal, he is God the Son, right? And so all things were created through Jesus, which also then means that Jesus gave us life. Amen. Right? I mean, these are some basic things. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page with these very basic things there. So if he is our creator, and if he has given us life, then shouldn't he be the one who tells us who we are? Shouldn't he be the one who tells us who we were created to be? Like, shouldn't he be the one who determines what our value is, right? See, if I take some oats and I put them in some water and I cook them in a microwave, shouldn't I be able to say that that's oatmeal, right? But If you call it something else, because let's say you don't like oatmeal, and so you say, that's disgusting. I've heard that, by the way. I've heard that at my house. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. That's disgusting, right? Yes, it is a description, but it is also a label of what that is, right? Okay? Well, I made it. You don't get to tell me what I made, right? Right? You also don't get to, maybe, you also don't get to name it, right? I don't want that, right? Okay, well, I don't need you to want that. Like, I'm valuing it rather highly. If you don't value it very highly, I'm not getting into your business. Don't get into mine, right? But I made it, and I think it's pretty awesome, and so I'm going to eat it because I think it's really amazing, right? If I make it, then I get to say what it's worth. Nobody else gets to tell me what my oatmeal is worth. Because let me just tell you right now, y'all ain't even had my oatmeal before. Like, this is a little tangent I don't even have time to get into, but we're going to do it anyway. Like, if you are eating oatmeal without brown sugar, cranberries, and slivered almonds, or sliced almonds, like, you have not lived your best life yet. I'm just letting you know right now, okay? So maybe we just need on a Sunday morning have a little oatmeal party before worship or something like that. I'm just saying it's good because I said so. All right? Maybe you don't like cranberries. Maybe you don't like almonds. Maybe you're like, oh, I can't handle all them sugars, right? Whatever it is, I'm just letting you know I like it. And so I value it rather highly, no matter what other people might happen to say about it. All right? I made eye contact. I shouldn't do that. If Jesus is the Word and He created us, shouldn't He be able to say who we are? Like, if He created me, He should say who I am. You might not like my flavor. You didn't make me. I don't care what you like. All I care about is what God likes. And if He says He likes me, well, then shouldn't that be enough for me? Like, if He says, hey, I like you with cranberries, praise God, I'm going to just live my best cranberry life, right? Maybe you don't like cranberries. Okay. We'll catch up on something else probably, right? But you don't get to tell me that I'm not any good because you don't like who I am. You don't value who I am. You don't determine who I am because you didn't make who I am, right? Shouldn't Jesus get to be the one who says who I am and what I'm worth and what I'm supposed to do? I mean, after all, He made me. He made me. He made you too. He made you too. So let me keep going here. Ooh, man, I got 3 days to preach this sermon, and all I have left is like 20 minutes. Okay, verse 6, let me keep going here, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, which is Jesus, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. I only wanted to read this so that I could tell you, if you're part of a community group this week, you're actually going to be diving into a little bit farther down in John chapter 1 here about John and his role and how he defined himself through his relationship to Jesus, right? By the way, shameless plug here, if you're not a part of a community group, you really want to make that happen. You don't know you want to make that happen, but I promise you, you want to make that happen. Those connect cards that are on the back of the seat in front of you, this would be a great time to fill one of those out and say, Pastor, I want to be in a community group. Check that box, and we can make that happen for you very, very soon, right? But if you're in a group, you're gonna be looking more into who John is and how he defined himself this week. And so really, really good stuff there. Let me continue on here, verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. I read too much there. That's all right. I'll come back and pick that up. First of all, we need to recognize here that Jesus says that we are loved. Jesus says that we have purpose and we have value. Jesus says that we are gifted through his Holy Spirit, right? Jesus says that we are never alone, right? Jesus says all kinds of amazing things about us. All of these things are true, right? Yet, at the same time that Jesus is revealing to us through his life that all these things are true, there is something that gets in the way of light. So many times in our life, we know these things to be true. We know the promises of God. We've heard these things, whether we fully grasp the theological nature of them all or not. We know that God has good things for us through Jesus himself, right? And yet, so many times in our lives, the light of Jesus is somehow blocked from us. As he says here in these verses, that light, that truth, is somehow not revealed to us. It is intercepted somehow. So what causes us not to recognize him? What causes us not to receive him as the deliverer and as a savior? And what I really want to look into today, as we're diving into all this, is what is the role of the devil in all of this? What is the role of the enemy of our soul? Because the reality is, and I know sometimes it's really hard to really dive into this, is that the spiritual warfare is real, okay? And I just want you to know that, like, coming into this, to this sermon even today, like, I need you to know, like the enemy is hopping. Like, I need you to know, like this week, in ways that I cannot explain to you, and that I don't even know would make sense to all of you. Like, I just need you to know, coming up to this sermon in particular, like, the devil has been going crazy all around us, and you just need to know that it is a real thing. Like, when things are happening in your life, it's not just, well, I guess things happen sometimes. No, you need to know that there is an enemy that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy your life, right? And if we are not awake to what the enemy is doing, it makes it so much more difficult to be awake to the victory that Jesus has for us in our lives as well. Amen. Right? Let me keep reading here, because we're going to get to the meat here in just a second. So let me start back at verse 12 again. Rebecca, I know I messed all this stuff up here. Rebecca's doing such a great job on those slides for me. Back to verse 12. So we recognize this idea that we haven't recognized him, we haven't received him. There in verse 12 it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of a human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We are, when we are in relationship with Christ, when we are in Christ, when we are submitted to him, we are children of the Most High God. Amen. Like, please don't just let that go by you like you were just reading the paper about what the weather was going to be later, right? Like, you need to know that when we are submitted to God through relationship with Jesus Christ, we are children of the Most High God, the creator of all that is, the one that spoke your very existence into being. Like, he is our Father. Like, I don't even have time to get into all that. The point is here, we do recognize his glory. We are receivers of his grace and his truth. So if this is the goal that we want to live in, we want to live in the goal of receiving his glory, recognizing his glory, of receiving his grace and his truth, well, then how do we get there when it feels like life is so filled with darkness sometimes? How do we get there when it feels like all we see is the oatmeal mess all around us? And we feel like we've just messed everything up. What do we do when it seems like all we are experiencing is just that the pressure of life on us, like the weight of the world on us, and the pressure building from under us, and it feels like the old school used to say we were between a rock and a hard place, right? Like we got nowhere to go, and we don't even know what to do. Like how is it that we can live in this glory, in this grace, in this truth when we find ourselves in this pressure cooker of life, right? All right, let me see if I can get to something real here for you. The first thing that I think we really have to do is we have to find a way to release the pressure. Right? And the first place we've got to go for that is we've got to go to the Word. Now hear me clear. Jesus is the Word. It is through him and by him that all things were spoken into existence. Jesus is the Word. He is the truth. He is Jesus. Even as we talked about last, he is the way, and he is inside of us. We have to get Jesus, and we have to get his Word. We got to get the power of this creating Word inside of us in order to relieve the pressure that we are feeling. And I'm going to get into why we're feeling that here in just a minute. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, we need to hide God's word in our heart because the reality is we don't know when we're going to need it, right? And sometimes, like, don't get me wrong, I'm glad you got that verse of the day coming to you from YouVersion or whatever like that. But sometimes, hear me out, you might be going through something when that verse of the day doesn't pop up, right? Sometimes you might be going through something and that app doesn't tell you what to read for that moment, right? Like so we've got to be ready so that when the enemy comes our way to try to steal, kill, and destroy our lives, we've got a word hidden inside of us, that good news of Jesus, that we are not found wanting in the midst of that battle, but rather that we are able to use that to come against temptation, to come against the lies of the enemy, and we're going to get to that here in just a moment. But we got to hide that word in our heart. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I want you to see this here. When it talks about the armor of God there in Ephesians chapter 6, and I would encourage you to go back and read that for yourself, really study that good. There's only one piece of armor that is offensive, and that is the sword, right? And that sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. See, if we want to release some pressure, if we want to come against the pressure that the enemy is causing in our lives, we've got to know his word. It's the truth of his word that relieves that pressure in our lives in a variety of different ways, right? So we got to get in the word, first and foremost. We got to know the word. We got to know it for ourselves. And let me just be clear. I love that you're here on a Sunday morning, but if Sunday morning is the only time you're reading the Bible, you're not going to be ready. I'm just letting you know. Like, you got to be ready, like, on your time. You got to prepare on your time. Like, this is a great time where we can all come together and praise God for how good he's been. But, like, I can't get you ready in 1 hour to handle everything else that the devil's going to throw at you this week. I need you to be preparing on your own, right? And the people next to you need you to be preparing on your own as well. Because we got to intercede on behalf of each other here. We need each other to be ready. Which leads me to the next point, which is don't go through it alone. Right? Don't go through it alone. It is so important to stay connected. All right, we're talking about relieving that pressure. So many times, it's when we find ourselves in isolation that the enemy is able to just pound on us all these different lies. And then they grow up so much that things just blow up out of control and everything. And the reality is, if we would just get around some other people that are following after Jesus, they would be able to relieve us of all the pressure from those lies that we're hearing, right? It's kind of like if I had a straw in that oatmeal. That would keep that oatmeal from exploding because all it's doing is just letting the air out, right? When we get around other people, they're able to kind of be the straw in our oatmeal that just relieves that pressure so that we don't have to explode all over the place. We can work together to live in the glory that God has for us, right? Let me say this too, because this is really important for everybody to hear, and that is that therapy is helpful, right? And it does not degrade your identity in Christ. It does not degrade your faith in Jesus. Right, I'm just telling you right now, as your pastor, I love the fact that I get to walk alongside you and help you to learn some things about the Lord and to learn how you can live this out in your life. But there are some things going on in your head that I don't know how to work with. And that sounds like a joke, but it's just dead real. It's for real. I'm not qualified. Like, I haven't gone through that kind of school. But that doesn't mean, and hear me clearly now, that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't need to be in it. It doesn't mean that Jesus can't overcome those things. It doesn't mean that you can't be healed. It just means that you need some tools that are not in my toolbox. Now, praise God, we as a church have a partnership with Shield Bearer, who is this incredible network of Christian counselors. And I talk about it. Matter of fact, I was talking to somebody about them just yesterday. What's so awesome about Shield Bearer is because it's a network of counselors, right? I mean, it's a whole, Naomi, do you even know how many counselors are connected there? I mean, it's a bunch. Let me just say it's a bunch, all right? What's awesome about that is all of them have their own specialties, right? They have the things that they focus on, that they do, that they like, they just knock out of the park every single time. And so you don't have to, it's not like we're just referring you to one counselor who has their own niche. No, there's a whole network of counselors that they're able to help find the right counselor to work for you. And by the way, they all come from a Christian worldview. So we don't have to worry about where they're sending us and how they're leading us and do they really believe the Bible or anything like that. Like Shieldbearer does all of that sort of homework for us to make sure that they're leading us along the line of the gospel as well. It is not a hit to our faith in Jesus that we talk to somebody, that we talk to a professional about how to help us deal with the things that are going on in our minds, right? The enemy will convince you that, oh, well, if you go see a therapist, that must mean that Jesus ain't enough, right? The enemy will try to convince you that, oh, you don't really need that. It's just their problem anyway, right? And I'm just letting you know, like, it's so important just to get the help that you need, whatever that might look like, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Church, I want you to know today, not every thought in your head is true. Whew, I hope you hear that today. I hope you hear that today. Because there's a world that'll tell you if you're thinking it, well, then that must be true. I don't have time to get into all that. Whew! There's a world that'll tell you that if you're thinking it, it must be true. And I'm just letting you know, not every thought that comes into your head is true. Let me relieve some of the tension here. Not every thought that comes into my head is true either. I don't want you to think I'm standing up here like every thought that comes into my head is pure as the wind-driven snow. Like I'm just letting you know, like our thoughts will deceive us. And we have to, even as 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says here, we've got to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. See, the reality is the thoughts in our minds may not be obedient to Christ, but before they get from our head to our feet, we've got to let the Holy Spirit get in that thing and make that thing be obedient to Christ. So that if there's a thought that comes in our head that doesn't line up with Him, then we let that go through the filter of the Holy Spirit so that when it comes out, it's all in obedience to Jesus. Right? See, the enemy will tell you, well, if you had the thought, then that means it's true. If you had the thought, then that's who you are. If you had the thought, then it's already too far. If you had the thought, then that's already your value. That's already your problem. When the reality is that according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, through the Holy Spirit, we can demolish strongholds. In Christ, not us, in Christ. Arguments can be demolished. Pretensions can be demolished. Every thought that comes against God can be made to be obedient to God. Oh, I hope you hear that today. Because some of us have some crazy thoughts in our heads sometimes. Some of us have some crazy thoughts in our heads sometimes. I don't want you to think I'm standing up here like I ain't one of you, right? Some of us have some crazy thoughts in our heads sometimes. And don't you dare let the devil convince you that just because you thought it, that's who you are. No, instead, you take that thought and you take it to Jesus and you say, Jesus, make it obedient to you. Make it obedient to you. I don't have time. I got like 3 hours left on this here. Spiritual warfare is real. Okay. And it's going to sound like this is going to, I don't know how it's going to sound to you, but the reality is that your life is at stake. And lies are the weapon of choice for the enemy. John chapter 8, verses 43 to 45 says, this is Jesus talking now. This is Jesus talking, which is crazy. Like, think about this. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. By the way, he was talking to religious leaders, like church leaders. Like, he ain't talking to heathens and drunks and prostitutes here. He's talking to church. But anyway, that's another sermon that I don't have time to get into because I'm already overdone here. The point is, I'm back here. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Watch this now. This is what's crazy. This is what the Bible says. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I, Jesus, tell you the truth, you do not believe me. There is an enemy that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And all he can speak are lies. Like, he can't do anything. That is his native language. I love the way that illustrates. That is his native language, right? Part of the pressure that we are experiencing in our lives is because of the lies that the enemy has convinced us are true. Right? In John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Right? You believe lies about yourself, and you refuse reconciliation with others, and you are convinced that even God can't help you because the devil is trying to kill you. He wants you to explode. He wants that oatmeal all over the place. He wants you to feel the weight of the world. He wants you to feel the pressure coming up. He wants you to feel like your life is hopeless. That's what he wants. He wants you to get in a frame of mind where you're just spiraling out of control, and all you can see is what he is feeding you. But church, I need you to know today, there is another way. Praise God. and that other way is Jesus himself. Like, it's not like Jesus gives us these self-help steps that we need to do. No, like a relationship with Jesus is the way that we are changed. Like he makes us new. Like, I need you to know today, I don't want you to show up and to sing songs just so that I can give you a few things to make you feel better in your life. I can't do that. I didn't create you. Only Jesus can change you. But if you will let yourself submit to him, I promise you, you won't just be better, you'll be different. You'll be different. We don't need better. Better is still no good. What we need is different. And only Jesus can give us different. James chapter 5, oh my goodness, the time is going. James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. One of the things that the devil uses against us more than anything is unforgiveness. The pressure, and you have felt this yourself. You have felt the pressure of unforgiveness in your life, and it just continues to just push things to the edge, right? You got the weight of the world there, but then with all of that, like your job, your family, all those things that are just normal things to have, you got that unforgiveness underneath, and then all of a sudden you see that person, or you get in that situation, and all of a sudden, like, things just start boiling up until before long it's just a mess all over the place. Like, I'm telling you right now, that doesn't have to be what your life looks like. Amen. But it has to come through forgiveness, all right? Oh, my goodness. Okay, so let me get to what we really need to get at. And that is that not only do we need to seek forgiveness for ourselves and for others, not only do we need to find ways that we can relieve that pressure, but we also need to... Because what I'm saying is, eat the oatmeal, right? We gotta get a few less things in our bowl there. There's a lot less chance that it's gonna explode if we get a few less things in our bowl. And one of those things is by creating margin in your life. Let's be honest, some of us are just too busy, right? And so there are some things and some people. Ooh, I hope you hear that. There are some things and some people that are in your life that are stealing margin, that are pushing you too close to the edge, that are causing weight and bringing pressure. And some of those things and some of those people just need to go. Talk to me later. I'll walk you all through it. We also need to take the time to deal with stuff instead of just sweeping it under the rug. Because too many times, and I get, like, we got to function in life, we got to do stuff, right? We got to go to work, we got to go to the store, we got to do life or whatever like that. But just because you close the microwave door doesn't mean that the mess is gone, right? We got to take care of stuff, right? We got to heal stuff. We can't just close the door and forget about it, right? We've got to actually be about it, and here's why. If all we do is just keep closing the door, then we're going to keep seeing the same oatmeal explode over and over and over again. And if we see that enough, then we're going to convince ourselves that this is just how life is. This is just who I am. This is just how it has to be. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. It just is. The word has to tell us who we are in Christ. Jesus is the Word. So I am who He says I am. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I just need you to hear today that your weakness does not keep Jesus from being strong. The weakness that you feel, either spiritually or just in your mind, does not keep Jesus from being your Savior. It doesn't keep Him from being enough for you. It doesn't keep Him from being able to change you, right? What we have to do is just be willing to submit to Him, even in the midst of it. So, worship team, come on back up here. We're gonna do one last song before we go. And I know everybody, look at your clock. It's 12 o'clock. All right. Just so you know, it's 12 o'clock. I've gone long. It's all right. Don't put that on Pastor David and don't put that on the Holy Spirit. Just give that to me and that's all right. That's all right. I just want to just take the mystery out of it right now. I know what time it is. It's all right. It's all right. And yet in the midst of it, I think there's some truth that we have to wrestle with, right? Look at these questions here I want you to look at. First of all, what do you think about when you think about yourself? If you're in a community group, this is one of the questions you're going to talk about. What do you think about when you think about yourself, right? Because the reality is that everything we think about ourselves came from somewhere. And if it didn't come from Jesus, then where did it come from, right? We got to think about that. And what might happen if you actually let Jesus, the Word, tell you who you are? Not just one time of like, okay, Jesus, I'm going to surrender to you, but each and every day of my life, I'm going to let Jesus tell me who I am. What would that look like in your life? How would your life be different, right? And then the last one there is, what step do you need to take to submit to Jesus and to his word? Maybe the step you need to take today is just simply to say, you know what, I've never been a follower of Jesus, but I'm tired of being stuck in this stuff going on in my head. I'm tired of losing to the enemy, and I want to live in the victory of Jesus. And I'm tired of just trying to be better. I want to be different. Maybe today's the day that you say, I want to be different because I want to start following Jesus, right? As we sing this song, if you want to pray with somebody, you can pray there at your seat. You can come up to altars here. We have people that will come and pray with you, even after service and everything. We just want you to take whatever step that is. Maybe you decided to follow Jesus a while ago, but you still are wrestling with the lies of the enemy in your mind, in your life, and you're trying to figure out, like, what is the next step for me got to be? Like, maybe the next step is just actually setting up a time where you can meet with somebody to talk about what those next steps could look like. We call that discipleship, by the way. And we would love to walk with you in that journey. So stand with me. We're going to sing. And if the Lord is speaking into your life, if the Lord is challenging you, I just want to encourage you to say yes to him. Say yes to him. Whatever that might look like, say yes to him, even now.